hello to everyone. Thank you so much for watching. Bob Moses, thank you so much for this set. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so fun.
In your mind, what do you think it represents for people in LA, Griffith?
Well, I think LA is sort of like known as the city of the stars. And then this observatory, I think it just takes that sort of literally, you know, and like you get the view of the stars. So I think it kind of fits with the city and the atmosphere. And especially since there's the beautiful hillside here, it's a perfect place, you know, to come out. You have the ocean. You can see, like, you get a view of the whole city. I think it really sort of encapsulates what it's about.
I totally... Is it okay with the mics?
It should be on.
Now it's on.
Now it's on.
Sound check.
Sound check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You come from Vancouver, but now you live in LA. What are the favorite things for you to living in LA?
Well, I think the thing that we like about LA is we love Vancouver. And it was a great place to grow up, but it always felt, especially in music, we felt like the sense of adventure in music was calling us out there, you know, out to the, another place. And we found ourselves in New York, and we loved the energy and the huge metropolis was something that you can get everything from every culture there, you know. And so LA kind of brings that huge metropolis, New York, everything is easily accessed with the beautiful nature, West Coast vibe of Vancouver. And so that's kind of, it's kind of like a combo for us. And that's what we love about it.
Let's speak now about music and about this track, Griffith, that you made for this show. What images came to your head when producing this track? And you also choose not to put any vocals in it. Why did you choose not to put any vocals?
I mean, we have so many vocal tracks that sometimes we like to make sort of things for our set to help keep it flowing in between, because we have difficulty finding sort of like the space in between the sound to keep it interesting. And I think especially with a DJ style structured set or something that flows like this, just constant vocals all the time, it doesn't make for the best story. So we're kind of left sort of trying to come up with little ideas and little loops to sort of fill in the blanks. And this is something that we originally started on a tour bus to when COVID was not happening, and to play at DJ sets. And we've kind of built on it and built on it sort of over 2 years. And then now finally, when we were asked to do this and we thought that we would insert it, we ended up finishing it, making it a little bit more melodic, a little bit more pretty, but still sort of tough and driving. And so it really just fulfills a tool in our set, and we're hoping that when we put it out, that it'll fulfill that tool for other people as well.
Yeah, it's very energetic. I really love it. And I think in clubs, it will have an amazing, amazing vibe. I also look at the questions from the online audience, and Natalie Amaya asked, what was the motivation behind Desire?
Oh, the motivation. I don't know if you ever know the motivation when you're making music. I think it's sort of, when you're making music, you're kind of reaching out into the ether, and you don't really know what you're looking for, and it kind of comes out of you and you figure it out afterwards. So I think that we were going through, we were on the road a lot when we made that song, and we were struggling with a bunch of different things. And I think that we had this feeling of wanting to make something tough, but also have it be sweet and have it be this idea of not being captivated or captive by your desires and being able to break free from them, and not only your desires, but other people's desires as well. And so that was sort of the lyrical message behind Desire. And then the track was just, we were with Zoo, and we wanted to make something that was like both of us, and
yeah,
you know, it was just like a good mix of our sort of feel and his bit tougher stuff. So,
and this track, along with other tracks of yours, have been remixed, and you worked with a lot of artists doing remixes of your tracks. How do you choose the artists you want to work with?
A lot of them we're just fans of, and we asked them. You know, we emailed Charlotte DeWitt. She's a friend of ours, and we said, "Hey, would you want to do a remix of this?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'd love to, guys. I'd always wanted to do something with you." And we were super, you know, honored that she did that. And same with Solomon, and sort of everyone that we got on the packages. You know, we've just sort of reached out, and Sometimes we do it if it's like we sort of, there's a vision for the record that maybe we didn't realize, like it would, oh, we really need a great peak time thing or more chill or more 80s disco. Sometimes we'll reach out to people with a specific like purpose that maybe like we heard the track in a way that like, oh, it could be cool if we got a remix like this. Like we asked Prince, Thomas and Lindstrom to do a remix of one of our songs and they kind of made it more sort of funky and disco-y and 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of, it's 50-50 sort of like wanting to serve a purpose and also then just asking people that we're fans of. And if both of those things happen, then it's a win-win, you know?
And a question from Nick Hebb. How has the pandemic affected your ability to create and make music? Are you doing anything different now that you weren't doing before?
That's a good question. I mean, we're just really focused. This is the first time since we started our group that we've had nowhere to go other than the studio, you know? So like... This very much reminds me of when we were first starting out and we couldn't get arrested. We couldn't get any gigs. And we were just in the studio working all the time and like really trying to hone in on our vision and like and find our voice and stuff like that. And I think that we're doing a lot of that now. And this we miss touring greatly, but on the flip side, it's also sort of a blessing in disguise that we're able to just really... be the two of us focusing in on music. And it feels a lot like we found a sort of that initial spark that we had when we first got together, that sort of excitement in the studio. I feel like we've really honed in on it this time, like that we have more than we have in a bunch of years because of we haven't had the distractions of touring yet.
So in the end it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Maybe a difficult question now. If you could pick 1 year in your career to do over, which would it be and why?
To do over, I wonder, does that mean like live again or do it differently? I'm not sure. Because I don't...
Do it differently.
I honestly don't think I'd do anything differently. I think it's kind of, I don't want to say dangerous, but like it's not good to think like that. But I think we've been very fortunate to sort of, you know, be able to do a lot of things that we've really wanted to do in our career thus far. We've been very lucky. And I think like having each other... we sort of keep each other in check. And like, if there's important decisions that we make or something that happens, we really, it's like everything's a team, you know? And so I think having another person, you know, to sort of, you know, self-edit yourself and do all these things, I think it's really important. And thus far, there's nothing that I think we'd want to do over. We just want more, I guess, in the future.
I would say like everything we've done has brought us to where we are now. And I wouldn't really want to be, this is pretty good, you know?
I like being here, so. Yeah, totally agree. I love this spirit. my last question now. What's the most daring thing you've ever done as an artist?
Wow. Daring.
Daring.
I mean, I think you could say sometimes just even getting on the highway in LA in your car might be the most daring. at least for me.
I mean, that's hard. I mean, put vocals over Deep House? I don't know.
I'd say another thing is like trying to go as a band, like performing. I remember we started off just the two of us, and then when we started getting these gigs and sort of playing bigger stages, and you know, Tom and I come from band backgrounds, and we really wanted to make this jump to like playing with a live drummer just really adds this feel that you can't get with computers or CDJs. And we really wanted to feel like a band, but still hold true to like who we are as artists. And I remember that jump felt like, from not only a technical standpoint, from a creative standpoint, the idea of it felt risky and how people would feel, but it ended up going awesome. But I think that's probably one of the more daring things we've done.
I'm so happy that you dared
to
do it. Now the mystery box, the little gift we will offer you. It's not a little gift. I think it's the best mystery box we've ever gave. So it's some gift from Discover LA, from the LA Tourism Board.
Thank you. This is amazing.
Did you know we like skateboarding?
Do we do this? We skateboard.
It's for you.
Oh, thanks, man. This is incredible.
So the skateboards come from LA Original, which is a local company. And all the proceeds from this company will go to the Garage Board Shop, which is a non-profit that has programs for inner city youth.
Amazing.
And designed by local LA artists. Then you have a bottle of Los Angeles wine, of course.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then you have a print from Griffith Observatory. I think it would be a great souvenir for you.
Awesome.
And done by George Townley, a UK award-winning artist.
Amazing. Thank you.
thank you very much, guys.
Very generous of you guys. Thank you.
Amazing experience. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you also to the LA Tourism Board, Jamie and Ben. You have been amazing. Bill as well. All the production team. I think there is like something like 30 people working today for this show. Thank you everyone for watching. Thank you to our partners. And we'll see you very soon. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.